at the top of the list, it really is women's rights. And so Livia and I have a close association and understanding about those things. We share the same passion. But I think at the base of it all, it's because we are birds of a feather.
How did the two of you meet?
It must be about 6 or so years ago. And I'm not a person that goes out very much socially, really. But I had a notion about wanting to connect with people, with women especially, to talk about the issues that haunt me, the issues that I feel so strongly about, which is the disparity between the quality of lives for women in the Western world in comparison to women and girls in developing countries. So I thought, how can I connect with people? So I organised a little dinner, and I knew a wonderful girl called Claire, who was working for Oxfam at the time, who knew Livia and Colin Firth. And she said to Livia, would you like to come? And we just were around a table, and I was just sort of saying, look, I have been to developing countries, and I have seen some horrific things with relation to women and girls, and I want to do something. And that was the start of this concept of what became something that we've called The Circle.
So what now does The Circle hope to do?
We want to be contributors. I don't think the solutions long term are so easy. We can start with just being aware. And this is the whole notion of The Circle. It's like, let's have a dialogue. What can we do? And what I realised is that it's about resources. We, as Western women, have access to tremendous resources that we take for granted. I was one of those women myself until I had the good fortune, through Comic Relief, to visit projects in Africa. And I had a total change of awareness when I actually had the opportunity to see life in the raw. It was a paradigm shift for me. And I would come back from these trips that I've made and going into Heathrow Airport, flying, you know, from this beautiful jet and coming into the airport and looking around and just feeling like, we don't know. We just don't know how difficult it is in every sense. Education, healthcare, human rights, opportunities to have work and employment. I personally feel this deep sense of gratitude to the suffragette movement. I always have, because I'm a working class girl. That's where I'm from. My whole family have come from poverty, and not so extreme from my memory, but nevertheless, we had to always count every penny. And I realised that, you know, young girls of my grandmother's time, my great grandmother's, I'm going back, coming from my background, which is so commonplace, I would never have received an education. I would have never had the opportunities that I've been so fortunate to receive. I actually had the chance to go to school, to have music lessons, to fulfil my dreams. And now, as a middle-aged woman, which I am, because I'll be 61 in December, I feel, you know, I feel very frustrated. I want to participate. I want to engage. I want to engage in the global women's movement.
How do you respond to the critics who disapprove of the pop star activists, whether it's you or Bono or Geldof?
Oh, you put me in the category with those guys, which is actually pretty... It's okay. Yes. How do I respond? I just carry on and I just do it anyway, because, do you know, people will always be critical. And I just do what I feel intuitively is right for me. I do not want to stand on a soapbox and tell people what they should be doing. Rather, I prefer to inspire women and men, to inspire them. I don't want to pound and harangue people. And I have a great deal of love and respect for Bob and Bono. I think they've done tremendous things. And they're human beings and they have foibles, so do I. But at least, you know what? They've tried to do something. They've raised the bar in many ways. Maybe sometimes they made mistakes, but they managed to bring the issue onto the platform of awareness. And I think that was no easy task. And for that, I will respect them always.
You famously always wanted to guard your private life carefully. How do you cope with media intrusion into your life now? The camera phone, the social media.
Yes, it's a challenge, isn't it? It always was. I think you realise that when you lift your head above the parapet to become a public person, as it were, because, you know, I've been a communicator through writing songs and performance and giving interviews on television and radio and then, you know, through video, all the mediums, they've been there. And as you said, I'm a shy person, actually. And I'm an ordinary person. I want to walk in the streets. I don't want to stand out necessarily. But I try to deal with sometimes intrusiveness as graciously as possible, because I understand, yes, I've done this. I've put my head up there to be knocked down or to be revered or whatever. I just try to stay grounded. That's maybe the only thing I can tell you. I am frustrated with the kind of cult of celebrity. I find it extremely superficial. It is very harsh at times, because social media is a rough place to be these days. It's very divisive and very polarizing. And you can be quoted and misquoted. And that is maybe the source of my greatest frustration, is the number of times I feel I've been misrepresented because of misleading headlines, or some editor chopping out the most significant part of the sentence to turn it around to be something that was simply not accurate.
How much do you still love performing, as much as you did when you started?
Oh, much less. Much less. When I was, you know, a younger musician, let's say, in my 20s and 30s, and even in my 40s, I had such a passion for music. Such a passion. It was my life. It wasn't my job. It wasn't my profession. It was my life. Everything I did was, I put my heart on my sleeve and wore it there and felt it. I ate, lived and breathed music and music making. That's what I did. And the change came when I was so fortunate to have two healthy babies. And this is another thing that informs my activism. My belief in women is that the fact that I came from being a very, very dedicated rock pop star, contemporary woman, and I became a mother. Everything changed.
To two girls.
To two girls, yes. So, you know, this sense of watching young girls growing up and being a mother, and the preciousness of that, how precious that is.
I remember when you and Dave Stewart were together as the Eurythmics, obviously. I remember that we're more or less contemporaries. And you were very much equal partners, and you never wanted to be a sex symbol. But you did say once that he had to be the positive one because you were despairing and morose.
Yes.
To what extent would you still describe yourself in that way?
Oh, I'm still despairing and morose, but it's not a continuum. Who wouldn't be despairing and morose if you're a sensitive soul on this planet, quite honestly? You just have to read a newspaper. How can you be inured to the outrageous things that happen, the injustices, the cruelty, the ignorance, basically, that is bandied about? And we're so interested in it, aren't we? Because we buy the magazines and the newspapers. So on a personal level, I have always been a person. You can read the lyrics of the songs. They're mine and they're from the darker side. But I also believe to be positive, one must do something. There must be action.
There is one song that is not from the darker side.
Okay.
It's
you found one then?
Something of a woman's hour anthem.
Okay.
It has to be said. It's called Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. So I come in. What inspired it?
Well, you know, it's really funny because songs are hard to come by. Sometimes they would leap into one's consciousness, maybe all in one go. And Sisters was one of those songs for me. And it was something like I wanted to write an anthem for women. I really did. I thought it was time to do something like that. So it was a challenge. I thought, okay, I want to write this song. And basically I woke up one morning, as they do, all those legendary blues singers, And I wrote it. I wrote it and presented it to Dave and said, look, I've written this. And where do you fit in with this? He said, oh, my God, there's nothing for me to do. So there's a fantastic guitar solo in the middle. If you remember the video, it's so sweet. And Dave is kind of spinning round doing this frantic guitar solo all on his own. And it's so funny because it's like a it's sort of like a symbol of maybe the way sometimes men feel about women too. Like, what am I supposed to do? Because I really do believe that men are very important to partner with us shoulder to shoulder. I don't believe that we have to be enemies of men. I think that we must be connected with men, and they must be feminists too, you know, if I'm going to use that F word. I think men could be feminists and can be and are.
And who finally inspires you?
There is one woman who is no longer with us, sadly, and that is Anita Ruddock, who founded The Body Shop with her husband. And Anita was my mentor in many ways. And I met Anita maybe 3 or 4 years before, she passed away. And we were good friends, and we were like-minded, kindred spirits. She was full of energy and drive and vision and positivity. And she would travel all around the globe to encourage and support very small organisations, grassroots initiatives. And she was like, yes, we can do this. Anita really had a lasting impression on me. And then the other people that really inspire me are the women that I see that have so few resources on the ground there, and they have very little, and they're just getting on with it. They're helping in clinics and hospitals and in community centres and doing anything they can. They're not famous, no one knows who they are, but they'll come with their last little piece of bread to give to someone in need. And I'm not being sentimental about this. I see that. I see women like that. And they're there. And they're the ones that I simply bow my head to.